We could go, Lisa, stop working. Lisa, go home. It's not your company, bitch. You need to sleep.
Nobody wants to admit they believe in ghosts.
There are just a lot of unanswered questions, and most people would be like,
I like how people react when they hear about our podcast.
We were right.
There are things back here.
I don't want milk. It was a miracle. We must explain it.
Do I open or you open?
I open because you go first.
Never,
which is our opening.
This is our opening. Never know.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Paula.
And this is Elaine.
And you're listening to...
Wait, what? Paper roses. Damn it, Stuart.
God damn it, Stuart. You gave us an earworm.
I don't even know how it goes. I just know your version of it.
You've never actually heard the song.
Paper roses. That's all I know. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Goddamn
beautiful.
I don't think
we have any announcements this time, do we?
Not really. I mean, no. I mean, don't forget.
Yeah.
Podcastmagazine.com/hot50 because
we ended August. We don't know exactly what happened yesterday, but we ended August at number 12.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is amazing.
We are so close to cracking that top 10. So please vote. You can vote every day. You don't have to remember every day, but whenever you remember.
Yes.
Vote so we can crack
the top 10. Please vote. Yeah.
Because what are we? We want network attention.
We want network attention.
Eventually.
And then we're going to go on the road.
Correct.
Eventually meaning today, please.
Today, please. We're ready to accept. It's like if we were doing the draft, you know, your first choice.
Yeah.
My first choice is exactly right.
Yes.
I don't know about you.
It's a really good one. Although I keep hearing new names. I can't think of any of them. Exactly right's my favorite because it's my favorite murder and all that. And I feel like we fit so well while being completely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time I listen to new podcasts, there's like something new. So I think we have some options.
Yeah, there's Audio Chuck, there's Parcast Network. Audio Chuck is Ashley Flowers. There's Wondery Network. There's a lot.
Something else. I just can't remember.
No, there's so many now.
Yeah, there's so many.
But my top choice would probably be like...
Yeah.
Would probably be exactly right.
Yeah.
Audio Chuck, because that's where Ashley Flowers is. Mm. I think they need a little humor. And Parcast, obviously, because Parcast.
Yeah, Parcast is good. What's Tig's on?
I forgot what Tig was on. I think it was
American Public Media.
There it is. I was close. If you are listening to this and you have a particular episode that you like, please post it on your social.
Yeah, share it.
And tag Karen Kilgariff Georgia or Exactly Right or whatever podcast network you think needs to hear us.
And then you screenshot us, email us a screenshot of what you've done or message us on one of the platforms.
Or tag us.
And we will mail you a sticker.
Yeah, or something else. Maybe a surprise. Okay. But I think that's really it. We're doing two episodes today. So we've already exhausted our topics.
Yeah, we just don't have any more announcements until a couple weeks from now.
Right. I mean, we've given shout outs. Debbie's husband Drew is a big fan. I don't know if I gave Drew a shout out.
Hi, Drew.
But he's all about it. And Debbie's like, I've been telling you, but he just caught on. And he's been telling people to listen too. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you, Drew.
Gotta love a listener and a recruiter.
Exactly. We're a team here.
Yeah.
And we support each other.
Exactly. And if you're part of the squad.
Be odd
and get more people to the squad. Okay. So today, I will be talking about somebody named Valiant Thor. Have you heard of Valiant Thor?
Is he a Marvel character?
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Or it sounds like an 80s wrestler.
Yes.
But it's not. First, let me give you the sources. Livingwithagolden.com.
Ooh.
Also, I listened to Ashley Flowers, Supernatural. She did a story on Valiant Thor. This is my interpretation of Valiant Thor.
Mm-hmm.
He was like an extraterrestrial ambassador. So like when we think of aliens, obviously it's the grays that pop up. Or something weird looking. But not Valiant Thor. Valiant Thor, in 1957, a strange ship landed near Washington, D.C. Alexandria, Virginia, near Washington, D.C. There was something that greeted personnel from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So they saw a UFO landed or hovered over a crop field a few miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody reported it. They don't know who reported it. The authorities went to go see what's going on. They see the craft suddenly open.
Oh, my God.
So they're like, of course, to the guns, right? Now, they're probably waiting for like an alien, but instead, this regular kind of handsome guy comes out.
Oh, okay.
And giving total politician vibes. Imagine George Clooney, if you will. Wearing a golden jumpsuit.
Yeah.
He had no seams or opening.
He's like, I am the Oscar.
I know, right? Look. He says, of course, it sounds super cliche, but he means them no harm. Mm-hmm. He says, I need to see Eisenhower, who was the president at the time. A literal take me to your leader.
Yes.
Right? And he communicates with them through telepathy.
Okay.
And they're just like, cool, man. Like, go sit in the back seat. Like, no questioning his authority whatsoever.
He'll drive you right over.
Yeah, basically. They take him straight to the Pentagon, okay? So they go to the Pentagon, and it sounds crazy, but one of the things that, like, Ashley Flowers was saying that makes this kind of sort of a... Okay.
Yeah, I know. Just go.
Just go. Sort of a story that is a little bit... we have to think about it, is that his existence...
Uh-huh.
Was verified by, members of the military, member of the U.S. Navy security clearance team.
Oh, my God!
Former member of Canadian Ministry of National Defense, and Eisenhower's great-granddaughter confirmed this man's existence.
Okay.
So anyways, they take him to the Pentagon. He's greeted like he was expected. They took him, supposedly, there's an underground subway between the Pentagon and the White House.
Okay.
Which isn't too far-fetched, right? Because, like, what if some,
Oh, no. And there are stories, legends, or whatever they are, that exist.
There's, like, secret bunkers.
But, they're going to be ways to get the president out.
Right. Or get an alien in and have nobody notice.
Or get an alien in.
So, Eisenhower, again, is like, what's up? He was introduced to Valiant Thor. And, Valiant, explains he comes from what we call Venus.
Oh.
And it's weird because we've had a lot of that. Uh-huh. Where there's these Venusians.
Uh-huh.
I call them Venusians. We call them, like, from Venice. But they're not. They're, like, the Venusians. I remember we had the story of the girl that had sex with the alien.
Yeah.
An alien guy, also a Venusian.
Uh-huh.
And good looking. So... That's where he says he's from. And supposedly Valiant Thor, good-looking dude, too.
It just seems like they would look so different from us if they lived in such a hotter...
But I don't think it's Venus as we know it. I think it's Venus in another, plane of existence.
Okay.
I think our Venus is a hot...
What we know as Venus, but not what we're looking at right now as Venus.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they could easily be from the future or whatever.
Yes.
Time is just a construct.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
So, Richard Nixon also meets him, and they greet, they've met before. Val says he's been sent by the High Council, which is a benevolent intergalactic beings observing... evolving species in the universe, i.e. humans, i.e. the ones that are a little lower than them. So they wanted to speak with the military about deactivating nuclear weapons.
Okay.
Because now that, the monkeys with opposable thumbs figured out, the galaxy's concerned. Okay? We're concerned that you're blowing yourselves up. So he tells Eisenhower, that's what we need to do. You need to talk to people in charge.
Yeah.
You're in power. And supposedly he tried to talk to the United Nations about it.
Mm.
And they were just kind of like, whatever.
Did he talk to leaders in other countries?
Yeah. Oh, Valiant Thor?
Yeah.
It doesn't say. He could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in and out all the time.
Okay.
Supposedly he could teleport. The reason he supposedly went to Eisenhower, too, allegedly... was in 1954, Eisenhower had already dealt with other people from other beings. In 1954, he was on vacation in Palm Springs. He didn't return to his room.
Oh.
He said he went to an emergency appointment, but people were panicking because no one knew where he was. Associated Press reported on his disappearance that night, claiming he had died, obviously, which wasn't true. Eisenhower later said he chipped a tooth and needed emergency dental work.
That's so like humans. If that's true, that's so like, I think he died.
Right? But also, like, why was it such a secret? Why did he just disappear? Why didn't he tell somebody? Like, I got to go to the dentist.
I mean, his staff had to have known.
They were panicking. Somebody,
like, he just got in a car and drove himself to a dentist.
I think, like, one other person might have been with him. I don't know. So, allegedly, though, it's because he did not go for dental work.
Okay.
He met at Edwards Air Force Base with two other extraterrestrials. And a written agreement with the U.S. and these extraterrestrials were formed called the Griotta Treaty.
Mm.
The terms were they would disclose advanced technology if they could just have some humans to experiment on. And Eisenhower said, that's no sweat off my back. Yes, give me the technology.
God, what if he, like, sweat some kind of a Valium, you know? I mean, like, how is he getting people just to go, okay, meth or roofing?
No, because
not meth.
If you think about it, they're in the midst of the Cold War.
Uh-huh.
They want to be ahead of the Russians. The Russians were way ahead of us. And for them, it's like, what's a few missing human beings?
But I mean, like, which humans? But, like, yeah, take some of the brown ones.
Yeah, no,
like,
no,
like, how are they deciding?
They were saying the only thing that they needed was, actually, this is when the Majestic 12 come in.
Uh-huh.
Because they were keeping track of who was being experimented on. I don't think it was, like, racial or anything at that point. I think,
well, I'm just saying people that are considered,
oh, yeah, like, disposable?
Disposable by the kind of assholes in charge.
No, I think for the most part, I don't think that was in there, but I think, you know, these weird disappearances by the caves and shit like that, I don't think they were, like, saying a certain type of people. I think they were just, like, saying human beings in general.
Random, but not where my family is.
Right. Well, they're not going to touch Eisenhower's family, obviously, right? Because he doesn't care otherwise. And also, remember that thing that I was talking about, that the underground base that they that they found experiments on kind of ties in with all this.
Yes.
And also in the 1960s, sudden influx of UFO abductee claims. Mm. It was shortly after that treaty.
Yes.
Now, is this a coincidence? Who knows? Now, Valiant Thor, Eisenhower told him, like, yeah, I'll try to, you know, talk to the leaders, but don't hold your breath, right? And Val kind of settles in, and supposedly he has some lush Airbnb at the Pentagon, right? They give him, like, an apartment and shit like that. They, like, house him. The Pentagon's always booked, though. You know, it's hard to get a room at the Pentagon. So Val, actually, while he's there, he helps the government's top-level scientists with, like, space exploration to medical research. They research him, too.
Uh-huh.
They figure out his IQ levels are off the charts, so handsome and smart. Truly alien. They test his suit, and, you know, nothing could, his suit was, like, nothing could penetrate it.
Okay.
And supposedly, they've seen Valiant Thor transport.
Mm.
Now, he also had crew members join him. And it's so funny because his name is Valiant Thor.
Okay.
His crew members, Don and Jill.
Wow. So they just took names from American culture.
Right. But Valiant Thor is like, don't get a cool name like me.
I'm Valiant Thor.
I'm Valiant Thor.
Jill and whoever. Don.
Jill, Don and Jill. So supposedly they went to a UFO convention in New Jersey. And they were showing off their interstellar abilities to kind of convince people, too, like, hey, we need to send this message out.
Uh-huh.
We need peace. And we are really from another planet. And they were showing that their telepathy and knowing. And in a former U.S. Air Force photographer took a picture of them, which is still on the internet. It's on the internet if you look up Valiant Thor. Then,
so, I mean, this is kind of funny because it would have been like some kind of big camera, you know, so obvious that he was taking a picture, but he got to take a picture and keep it.
It was at the convention. Yeah. So people were.
Oh, this was public?
It was public. It was a UFO convention.
Oh.
And they were there to claim that, like, hey, we're from another planet. Oh. And he took a picture while they were doing their thing.
Okay.
So then he takes it to this guy. Author and Christian minister Frank Stranges. He has degrees in psychology, theology, criminology. He's an ex-private investigator and U.S. Marshal. But he's super into UFOs. So mm-hmm. the photographer calls him and is like, dude, you will never fucking believe this shit. I have a picture. He eventually sees the picture and he was like, I mean, they look like people.
It doesn't mean anything necessarily. Yeah.
So he keeps a copy of the photo. Uh-huh. Fast forward to 1959, Frank is on a book tour. And his book tour, he claims that extraterrestrials are more connected to the Bible than people think. Mm. He's doing a church tour, so I'm sure that theory went over really well. Yeah. And he actually says that UFOs are the angels that the Bibles are talking about, sent to Earth to improve mankind. And to prove that, you know, they're aliens and they're cool with us and they look like us, he's kind of showing these pictures around. Yes. Like, these are the, you know, aliens. So this woman catches up, a woman from the Pentagon kind of catches up with him and was like, do you want to meet the guy in the picture?
Oh. Because they want to... he's still there?
He's still there and he wants to meet with you. The woman takes him to, you know, the Airbnb in the Pentagon, leads him up to Frank's secret Airbnb. And then Valiant Thor walks in and is like, I know what you're working on. You're on the right track. Huh. About, you know, aliens and angels being kind of the same thing. And he's like, we need someone else with an open mind. And also, just to kind of prove to him that you're on the right track, Val actually tells him that Jesus is an alien, which is my theory. Whoa. And, you know, Immaculate Conception, walks on water, turns water into wine, disappears after he dies.
Yeah.
Alien. So he was like, let's help mankind return to, you know, like being spiritual and paying attention and not destroy each other. You need to help me out with this. And he does the old alien wheeling deal. Mm. Like, if you help me spread the word, I'll give you secrets to the universe. Mm. Meanwhile, the universe is like, I trusted you, Val. You're just going to give away my secrets.
Sounds like a guy starting a religion.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they do kind of say that about this guy, Frank Stranges. They're like, well, he's writing books about aliens. So, of course, he's writing about it to, like, give legitimacy to what he's talking about. And Val says, you know, there's life on other planets. Only a few people know about his existence. This is what he's telling Frank. But no one seems to be helping him in his mission. Val is worried because he's due to go back to the High Council in 1960. Uh-huh. And he's not going to complete it. And Thor wants to meet with other people and basically spread this message of peace, warning that Earth was on a crash course to self-destruct if we didn't change our ways. And apparently, like I said, Eisenhower tried, but the Secretary of Defense and the government were like, no, because we have to, if we tell people that, we'll have to tell them who the message is coming from. Uh-huh. And if we tell them it's coming from this Valiant Thor, they were afraid people would follow him instead.
Oh.
So they were like, no, Eisenhower, no. Mm-hmm. So Val is basically recruiting Frank to spread the word of alien Jesus when he goes back.
Okay.
Because he's like, I still believe in you, you guys can do it, and you're going to spread the word. And he also warned him that while he's spreading the word, they will attempt to discredit him and possibly threaten his life. The Frank Stranges team. Okay. And allegedly, Val, he leaves in 1960, but he's still kind of showing up. Allegedly, there's all kinds of ships in Las Vegas, Nevada, but we can't see them because they're on a different vibration and they're invisible to us.
Yeah, to us.
And they're still watching us right in front of us, but we just don't see them. So when Val says that his life might be threatened, it did happen. So when he's going around to churches spreading the word, and again, people in churches are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like if this wasn't...
No, there'd be pushback. They need not to be challenged.
And I mean, if this was another time, he would have been strung up for talking like this. So he was asked...
Did he ever change his clothes or was he always in the gold outfit?
Oh, no. Val wasn't doing Val did change his clothes.
Okay.
Are you talking about... Oh, because...
No, Valiant Thor. I was wondering if he, like all those years he was in his Airbnb... Did he stay in the golden outfit?
Maybe that was his pajamas. Maybe that was his after work clothes. Which, by the way, I just realized I have clothes to go to work, which is basically like casual clothes, and pajamas. I have nothing in between. Nothing like, hey, going out to a nice dinner. I think I have like what I wear to my weddings.
Oh, yes.
Which is just, that's it. Like, it just goes
because
to show.
I really, you cannot overemphasize the importance of comfort.
Really. And here in San Luis Obispo, you can go to a nice restaurant dressed in jeans.
Yeah, it's casual. It's like being in Hawaii. Like, you can dress up if you want to, but everyone else is going to be in shorts and whatever.
Like,
yeah.
In L.A., there's no fucking way you're getting in the door. He goes on this church mission, right? And these reporters were like, hey, we want to interview you. This is Frank Stranges.
Okay.
We want to interview you. Can we interview you? And he goes, yeah, let's go to the restaurant. Interview starts. He's eating soup. And at first, the questions were mundane. Like, who are you? What are your message?
Uh-huh.
And then they get really aggressive. They're like, ooh. Well, where did you get your message from?
Oh.
So he's like, I heard you go to the bathroom. You're making the soup come up. So when he gets back, they're gone.
Oh.
So he's like, all right, fine. The soup is really good. I'm going to finish this shit. He eats the soup and there's something in it. He feels something grainy and immediately starts feeling like shit.
Oh.
Now, he has a translator with him because I think he's in another country.
Yeah.
The translator goes, are you okay? Because he's, you know, I don't know if he started his nose started bleeding or whatever. But the translator has something, puts it in a cup of water, has him drink it. He drinks it and he's fine. So then Frank Stranges is like, what the fuck did you just give me? He's like, I don't really know. Somebody met with me and said to watch over you. And if something happens, that you had to drink this.
Whoa.
So Frank Stranges is like, that's Val. That has Val written all over it.
That's so Val.
That's so Val. Good old Val. And Val later does call him up and like, remember when I told you to be careful?
Yeah.
Be motherfucking careful. So then he shows up again because he was driving in a car with his wife, and a car attempted to try and run them over.
Ooh.
The car flips. The wife is okay, but he cannot move from neck down.
Oh, God.
So they think he's paralyzed. They don't know for sure.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's at the hospital. Val's like, what's up? I told you to be careful, you stupid idiot. He puts his hand, and he's fine. And the doctors are baffled.
Oh.
And so from there, he decides to write a book, and I forgot. I think it was called Stranger in the Pentagon. I still want to read it because it's out.
Uh-huh.
So Frank Stranges tells this entire story through that book.
Oh.
And of course, people are like, you're bullshitting, blah, blah, blah. But then let's not forget, there are these three very important, or actually a handful of very important people who confirm that they met this person. That Valiant Thor is a real person and that he did come from another planet. So that's why... Yeah, it could be crazy. And I don't think he ever started a religion. He was literally just saying, this is what I'm writing on my book. Thor continued to visit the planet and him personally, adding that unlike humans, the residents of Venus have a lifespan of 500 years, give or take a century. Giving credence to this is one Google search and you will find photos of Valiant Thor, along with books that he apparently authored, as well as documentaries written by him, wide variety of backgrounds, some of which who claim to have met him too. And again, the message is always, humans chill.
Like, good advice in general.
Can you not kill each other?
So
can
really, they were the ones who pushed the legalization of marijuana.
Yes!
Because we can't do it on our own.
We need to chill. And apparently Valiant Thor has a LinkedIn and a Twitter.
LinkedIn. I wonder if he's like jobs, keyword.
Maybe life changer. Jill and Don quit and he's looking for... I'll apply.
Yeah.
I'll totally apply. So that's my story.
Okay, that's so interesting.
Valiant Thor.
And that's, you know, when Elaine said, and that's the Majestic 12 part, it's because we referenced that in...
A Short and Scaries,
and,
right?
No, it was in our novel. It was in our novel. What? Novel?
A novel?
Which you can access on Patreon, $10 tier
correct.
Or higher.
Yeah.
We're writing a chapter, taking turns each week.
It's our secret podcast,
and,
which is not so secret.
But in that, it suggested, secret, not secret.
Secret, not secret.
You know, that whole, it wasn't an outside force trying to claim that that's a hoax, but maybe it was inside, like, okay, we need everyone to think this is a hoax to give us some breathing room now. But that wasn't all. Hey, Kat.
Yeah, yeah. So they were like infiltrating the UFO community.
Yeah, yeah.
And spreading lies.
Ooh. Yes. So I'm going to talk about a weird thing called ASMR. It's Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Have you heard of it?
Yes, there's a ton of videos.
Yeah, there's a ton of videos.
And
it's not videos per se.
It's a sound.
Yeah, it's or in visual as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. And I found out about it because one of the jobs I'd interviewed for recently, there was a person there. I just don't want to like say who or where in case. But she was saying that she has this thing. I was like, wait a minute, what's that called?
Mm-hmm.
And she's where certain sounds, just like she loves certain sounds.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down and looked it up.
Yeah.
And it signifies the subjective experience of low-grade euphoria characterized by a combination of positive feelings and tingling sensations actually on the skin when they hear these sounds or see the visual stimuli.
Right.
That's
right.
Crazy. And like whispering is a big one.
Yes.
But it's funny when you think about it because I always love it when I'm like with a guy and they whisper something to me. I've always been like, oh, I love it when they whisper. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a form of this.
It is.
And it's not all romantic or sexual, mm-hmm. but sometimes it is.
Yeah. Like I saw one ASMR where the girl was just dragging her nails.
Yes.
Across
yes.
the mic. There's also the
and I don't know if this will make the sound. Let's, yeah, do yeah. it because my nails are really short right now.
Dragging her nails.
So yeah. we'll see what sound that makes. Can you do it one more time
yeah.
for like... Because even what I'm hearing is definitely...
Like,
oh. So what you're hearing... And it's like... hi, everyone. Yeah. How are you doing today?
Maybe we should do a whole episode of ASMR.
Hey, for our ASMR listeners. Here we are.
Paula can't help but sound seductive, though.
It's causing a braingasm. Which and, what some, that's what some people claim. It's like braingasm.
The visual, I see a lot of this with like with slime. So there's a slime
mm-hmm.
where it's crunchy on the outside, and then they have and you can hear it when they crunch through.
It's like when you crack a creme brulee almost,
right?
Except
and it's
bigger.
Just like, and you see people yeah. doing it, or like sand where they just cut it and it's satisfying.
Sand, yes.
Visually,
yes. Yeah, and there was one even where she was in a dark room and doing this small light, but moving it carefully, or just toward the video, moving your hands and kind of this
mm-hmm.
fluid toward the camera, away from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it.
Yeah, no,
I get
totally.
Why people are into it. And it is very sexual for some people.
Yes.
But it's also very relaxing.
Calming.
Like other people just said, not like they didn't compare it to meditation necessarily, but just that... You feel that stress just drop out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not far from like when you listen to audio of rain.
Right. Rain or ocean.
Ocean. It's,
yes.
it's that feeling of hush.
That's true. They, yeah.
Right.
I think that completely
yeah.
compares.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are millions of people watching on YouTube videos. You just put in ASMR
oh
and
God.
you will get. There was one young woman I was watching this morning. I thought, God, this is so damn mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Like, she goes on and on. And then when she breaks for commercials, because this
yeah.
is one of the more popular ones,
yeah.
she does the commercials in a whisper to stay with it. Like, there's only one video game I play, and this is the only one I need.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
Describes the elements of it. And I felt like it's just a regular video game, but it definitely does still sound a little
yeah,
corny.
It does, because it's so quiet.
Yes. So, to give a description... Oh, Wiki, Vox, and New York Times. And this guy, German Lopez, wrote in the New York Times about it. He's super into it.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of a first-person description
yeah.
of what this big phenomenon is.
Yeah.
He said, he described the experience. There's a woman whispering into a camera. She doesn't do anything particularly interesting. She just whispers in a melodic voice, makes seemingly random hand movements, which is kind of what I describe.
Random.
Yep, millions of people are mesmerized by it. And that's the world of ASMR.
Isn't that funny how that can, like, be it's a thing, and there's so many people that were out there that like that stuff.
So many people, and then so many people who didn't even know. And you might not be so into it that you want to watch these videos all the time, but when I watched a few of them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was glued to it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just incredible. All right, and I wonder if it's kind of the opposite or if it's related still to the people who there's certain sounds they cannot listen to, like a person chewing.
Yeah, Brad hates when I run my hand. If you run your hand down the dash.
Yeah.
And he's like, ugh. You know,
or maybe like chalk or fingernails on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
There's certain sounds. But chewing seems like this kind of benign noise, but...
People don't like chewing. A lot of people don't like it.
And I don't like it when I get people like smacky, wet chewers.
Well, that's just gross.
That's just gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's some people who just any kind of chewing.
I'm not that picky.
No, I'm not that picky.
People need to chew.
People need to chew, goddammit. Well, yeah, you can't just swallow. And swallowing without chewing is probably another annoying sound.
Oh, right.
Well, and then choking, which is a whole other.
Ugh, then I got to get up.
Ugh. Just don't make me get up. It's my day off.
I forgot how to do a Heimlich. I got to look it up.
The term describes the sensation people get when, or is used to describe the sensation people get while watching these stimulating videos or taking part in other activities. Sorry, the cat's being super cute right now. Usually ones that involve personal attention, meaning because the person's looking directly at you in the camera.
Right, right.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Did that do it for you, the cough?
I wonder if that's an ASMR.
It's less, it's like these quiet noises. And this woman had really long fingernails, so she was doing that on a ton of... And there was one devoted to the tapping.
Yeah, like they do this.
Yes. And that does make me feel something.
And I like it.
Yeah.
I like typing clackety-clack keyboards.
Oh, I do too.
I hate...
Like old typewriters. I like... Also, people... I like the speed of their typing sometimes when it's really consistent.
Yeah. I don't like those, like, silent keyboards. I feel like nothing... Yeah. I feel like there's just something comforting about...
Yeah, like see it through. Done. We need more senses involved.
Yes, yes.
Than just the touch.
Yeah, exactly.
Many people describe the feeling as tingles that run through the back of someone's head and spine. Others say the feeling is deeply relaxing and can even cause them to fall asleep. How it works varies greatly from person to person. Some, maybe most, don't get it at all. I think this is the writer, that German guy, but I mean, named German. I think most people do get it on some level.
Yeah. Though,
even if whether they're obsessed or not.
Yeah.
All science... there's not been a lot of research on it so far. There are various triggers. Some people enjoy role play. So it goes even beyond, in which someone gives close personal attention, like looking directly into the camera and whispers, while others like videos that show incredibly mundane tasks, such as, she did do this too, with spraying a water bottle.
Oh.
Tapping, we talked about, stirring a bowl of soup or crinkling wrapping paper.
Yeah.
I think that whole thing with bubble wrap is part of it, which many people relate to. Yeah.
Well, also there's one on TikTok where he has a power washer.
Yeah.
And he washes off a sidewalk or
fence. That's mesmerizing. Yeah. That's the same. The visual.
Yeah, the visual. Yeah. So you see it clean. It's like...
And it's
like,
incredible because it's so complete.
Yeah, exactly. And it's satisfying in a very...
So satisfying.
Comforting way.
Or even some of those videos I've seen lately... It's an app that's been advertised on the games I play.
Yeah.
Where like there's this smooth, this container with a smooth surface, some kind of soft material.
Yeah.
It's like digital. And this thing's going around that keeps smoothing the top.
Oh.
And as it passes, there are like three like fingerprints that go into it. Ooh. And there's something about that. I don't download it, but... Yeah. I always, I'm willing to wait out the
to watch
ad.
It. Yeah. Well, also, I think that's the popularity of the Dr. Pimple Popper. I don't like watching it, but for some people, seeing something come out is
I don't
satisfying.
Like watching it on video, but I used to love doing it to my husband's
back.
Yeah. Very satisfying.
Yes, it's satisfying.
Yeah, definitely.
To see it.
But I do sometimes watch the ones that get out like that deep earwax. And, I mean, it's gross, but it's so satisfying
like,
that it's clean.
It's clean, right?
Yeah, like that was in there and now it's not because now they can hear.
Oh my God. Because Brad's always like, dude, you got to look at this. I'm like, I'm not.
Get away.
At that. And Lorraine.
Yeah.
Like she'll watch that. I'm like, ew, what the heck? oh my God, Mom, it's so big. Like, you wouldn't even know. You thought it was a little thing, and then they popped it. It's just...
I have seen some of them, though, that... And, like, the pore is so huge after, because it's been so stretched.
So I have something... And this might be another thing, but it's called trypophobia.
Trypophobia. That sounds familiar.
I don't like small... holes.
Oh, yes. Clusters. I think we've touched on this. Oh, yes. Yes,
or
yes.
Or things coming out of holes.
So no whack-a-mole for you?
No, that's not bad because it's a big hole.
Okay, so little
small,
holes.
Small, tiny clusters of holes. And it's
clusters
worse
of holes.
If there's clusters of holes and things coming out of it.
Like, how do you feel about the Play-Doh thing?
What Play-Doh thing?
You know, like they...
I literally like, what are you talking about?
It's like this, you know, you pick up the handle and you put the clay in and then you push down the handle and it comes out the front in okay. whatever shape.
Okay.
And one of the shapes is a cluster of holes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. The, like, it almost looks like spaghetti coming out.
You lost me at cluster of
gross.
Holes.
But you know.
Yeah, it looks like spaghetti coming
yeah,
out. Yeah.
But you know how sometimes beach rocks have like little holes in them? They almost look like a coral-ish.
Oh, like that. Because rocks with holes in them are called hagstones, and they're like a whole witchy thing.
Oh, hagstones.
They're really cool. Yeah.
And there's another one that my... So ever since Madeline found out I didn't like this, she sends me things. I'm like...
Why did you arm her?
You piece of shit. there is a frog that has babies that come out of its back.
I don't like that.
At all.
Because if I saw the frog, it would freak me out because frogs are a little weird, but they're okay. But big ones freak me out. And if I was like, oh, God, look at that frog. And then baby started fucking popping out of its back.
Okay, let's talk more about ASMR because it's freaking me out. It's freaking
right.
me out.
How quickly we went to the dark side of this phenomenon.
Satisfying and disconcerting.
Right. We get the tingling, but it's a chill.
It's a chill.
Oh. It's so interesting, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the stirring of a bowl of soup, crinkling wrapping paper. Others are triggered by more elaborate role plays, which can vary from someone acting like a doctor to getting a haircut.
Oh.
And then this writer says, I tend to prefer simpler videos, which I find very soothing and tingle-inducing. He kind of entered himself into the story in a weird way.
And nobody asked.
Nobody asked. The feeling, he said, isn't usually sexual, although some people are triggered by videos that appear sexual. He's not the greatest writer. Other people experience ASMR that do experience it emphasize that the tingles and feelings of relaxation have nothing to do with sex.
Okay.
But it's a little similar to sexual turn-ons and that some people are very specific in what they like, which isn't necessarily sexual. Like his logic, his reasoning doesn't follow.
Okay.
Many people tend to grow tired of experiencing the same thing over and over. That's everything.
Okay.
Now, Jennifer Allen, she had created this Facebook page looking for other people. She just kept, because she had these sensations, she was like, other people must have it too.
Okay.
So she's kind of one of the...
Like pioneers?
Yeah, kind of one of the pioneers of the discussions and acknowledgement of that this is really far-reaching.
Yeah, because that's what I always wondered, like, how did that become a thing? Somebody must have said it and it caught on.
Yes, exactly. Right? And it did, but I have no idea how far back it goes. Yeah. Like we're so kind of, we suppress ourselves as a culture that,
right.
you know, 100 years ago, people would be like, why do I feel that way?
Or,
I'm never going to say anything out loud.
Also, we weren't as connected as we were.
Yeah.
You know, so like you could say it to one or two people and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then it ends there.
It's like, yeah, okay, that's enough.
Whereas now you can find a Reddit fucking, you know, like a Reddit thread and membership and fanzine.
Unless you can get someone to put it in a newspaper.
Right, right, exactly.
Which you're not.
Yeah, back then it was hard to find your tribe. Now you just type it on the internet and there's a fucking fanzine
website
for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I think that's why things get caught on, which people talk about technology all the time. I think technology is great in the sense that it does bring people that you would never have met.
Oh, completely.
Together.
There are benefits and costs to
everything single
thing, including before. I mean, think we were a peaceful race before, or
exactly.
whatever we are, species.
Exactly.
Before
the internet.
I mean, we've been violent, violent, horrible in some regards.
We've been humans.
Yeah, we've been humans.
And the technology didn't bring this out. It's just highlighting it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just another way to do it.
It's just another way to do it.
Also another way to, like you said, like to find your tribe, community build. Yep. I mean, there's so many movements.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so easy to get into it now.
So easy.
Which is so great. I mean, fuck, even just podcasts itself. Look up anything that you're interested in and there's a podcast. I recently found a podcast on Felicity, which I started listening to.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was like, I wonder if there is. And there is, but she brings in like her sister. And her sister's never watched it and was kind of being insulting. And I'm like, okay, I know she's a nutcase, but also I'm very defensive about my show.
Well, yeah, that's funny that they went that route.
Yeah.
Well, I just started listening to another phone one called Morbid.
And
it's two women. And they're funny. Not as funny as us. But I like it.
That was ASMR.
Not as funny as us.
Not as funny as us. Maybe like we could do ASMR while we compliment ourselves. We are so funny.
I just love our banter.
Oh my God.
We'll have an ASMR moment in every episode now.
Yeah. Oh, we could go, Lisa, stop working. Lisa, go home. It's not your company, bitch. You need to sleep. Okay, there we go.
No. And we so easily develop an entirely new podcast. So this Jennifer Allen describes the sensation as peculiar. She mentions the tingling that spreads through her scalp as the... These are the videos that she watches of it that causes these sensations. Uh-huh. As the camera pulls back to show the marble of the earth. So it's these kind of space... videos that make her feel that way.
Oh.
I know. The feelings came in a wave, like warm effervescence, making its way down the length of her spine and leaving behind a sense of gratitude and wholeness. Ellen loved the feeling, but she didn't know what caused it. And that's when she started looking for others.
Yeah.
She did describe it as tingling head and spine or brain orgasm. And for 9 years, she didn't turn up anything on it. I mean, she searched and searched.
Wow.
Then, in 2009, she did find something. She typed all her phrases into Google, only this time a result on a message board caught her attention. It was called Steady Health. That was the message board.
Uh-huh.
The post was titled, Weird Sensation Feels Good. The person wrote... I know, and she was like, what?
What?
I get this sensation sometimes. There's no real trigger for it. It just happens randomly. It's been happening since I was a kid, and I'm 21 now. Some examples of what it seems has caused it to happen before are as a child while watching a puppet show, when I was being read a story to, as a teenager when a classmate did me a favor, and when a friend drew on the palm of my hand with markers.
Okay.
Oh, I know. I like that kind of thing, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens for no reason at all. The poster went on to demand an explanation. Nobody had one, but many described a similar feeling. They described it as a silvery sparkle inside the head, a euphoric braingasm, or a feeling like goosebumps in the scalp that faded in and out in waves of heightened intensity.
That's crazy.
It's weird.
Because, I mean, I get it, but I don't have an intense reaction to it. I don't think anything, really. Like, do you?
The whispering, there are certain guys I've dated through the years that I remember specifically when they lean in. Like, even, I remember being in a Taco Bell with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaned in to whisper something to me. It was like a regular thing. Mm-hmm. But when he whispered, I just remember my heart beating faster feeling so attracted to him.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Like, I can see that, though, because it kind of tickles the ear. Or no?
I think so, because he was really close. So I could feel the warmth of his skin a little bit. Yeah. And he always smelled really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Great voice, and then when he whispered it, there was something about the intimacy of I think that just like
and his lips are so close to your ears.
Oh my God, it's everything. Where are you?
Do you know his name?
I don't want to know where he is. He wasn't nice in many ways, but he was really nice in other ways.
I'm just curious.
I can't remember actually off the top of my head, but I'm
like,
sure
I like
I could
Facebook,
like,
everybody.
Oh, I just remembered, but I'm not going to say it out loud. I'll say it to you later.
Okay.
She scrolled through pages and pages of discussion.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, she remembers thinking, these people are talking about exactly what I experienced.
Finally, she found my tribe.
And then as they were looking for answers, like going to professionals, they were told things like they must be on drugs or they had lice.
What?
I know. It's like the tingling sensations, like, oh, you have
lice.
And isn't it funny how much we discredit a new
thing?
Like, I will describe to you my experience,
yeah,
and you're going to tell me something's wrong with me, so you don't have to open your mind in any way.
Exactly. God.
Right?
Well, it's almost like that one, the story, the short and scary, is where it's like, I wonder if that ghost lady led me to this. It literally led you to
the person. You just described her there.
And she talked to you and said, the person's over there, the guy that killed me.
And that's the only reason you went into the structure.
But he's still like, I wonder.
It's like, no.
No, no. You don't get to get credit for that.
That's how deep denial
is. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Too funny. Mm-hmm.
So on, let's see, tingling sensation, told they had lice.
La la la.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bad hygiene.
And a moment of silence. Let's think of, and a moment of silence to remember all those who came before us.
So let's you'll see. Know what to cut out because it's just flat.
There's
nothing.
Others tried to describe their weird sensation, but with spacey nicknames like attention-induced head orgasm, which never caught on, she said. Let me see her new name, because she came up with... Sorry, I can't find her name, because I scrolled past a big chunk.
Did you listen to some, or have you seen some... Because there's...
Yeah, I was watching some videos.
There's, like, eating ones. I mean, I don't think this is ASMR per se, but there are people, and it's a big thing where...
We just watch people eat?
Huge amounts of food called mukbang.
Oh, what's it called again?
Mukbang. Mukbang.
Mukbang.
Yeah. So, it's very popular, I believe, in Korea.
Oh, that's Japanese, funny.
And they have it on YouTube. And there is this girl that fucking... Oh, my God. For me, it's more of like...
Do they throw up after?
No! This girl just mouths. This one girl drank this, like, sundae thing. It was like a giant boba.
Oh.
And she just...
How do you even do that, though? You must work on stretching your stomach.
Yeah, they have to. They almost have to, because it was insane amounts of food. But apparently one of the reasons it's popular is because if, like, you're eating by yourself or, like, you're single or whatever. I don't know why, like, some people find it comforting to be eating with somebody else. I don't know where the big, large amounts come from.
Yeah.
But some people feel very, like, I guess it's satisfying to see it all finished. I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if it helps with diets or if it triggers hunger.
Maybe. Because for me, it's more of just, like, the wow factor of, like, how in the... Especially when it's, like little Asian girls that are just... Right,
so they're not even overweight.
No, some of them...
Some of them are. You know, so there's like all sizes.
There's all sizes.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there's some little Asian women that are just
eating. Be like all they eat.
And I guess maybe it might be sexual. I don't know.
I mean, I would imagine that everything is sexual to someone.
To someone, yeah. You're right. Especially eating, right? That has a lot of
mouths
eating. And mm-hmm. licking and...
Goes all the way through.
Uh-huh.
So the name she had come up with was the ASMR... So nothing special there. Because they were all coming up with names to call it, and they were coming up with those silly names.
And she's the one that came up with
ASMR. She came up with the ASMR.
Nice. One guy's like, I know, the feely tinglies. I can imagine when they're like spitballing what to call it.
Not lice. And then this other guy, Stephen Novella, a clinical neurologist at Yale University School of Medicine, suggested a potential scientific basis for the experiment in a 2012 post on Neurologica. Perhaps ASMR, he said, is a type of seizure.
What?
I know. I read that. I was like, what? Why do you have to say my body's breaking down in some way?
It just likes the noise.
I mean, that's like saying this whole orgasm thing that everyone likes. Maybe they're seizure. I mean, because it kind of feels
like a seizure. It kind of is a mini seizure if you're getting it good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. Like, that could be, I mean.
Like, why do that?
Why can't it just be a sensation? Yes. As all sensation, when somebody tickles you, like, you feel it. Maybe this is just, like, auditory. Like, yes. It's a sensation.
It's a sensation.
But it hasn't been studied, and I think a woman found it, so let's,
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, it's a seizure,
let's cut it off into the past. You don't know what you're talking about.
He said seizures can sometimes be pleasurable and can be triggered by these sorts of things. I was like, I don't know, but, you know, just because he's a scientist doesn't mean there isn't a screw loose in there.
It feels good, but it's also a seizure?
Right? That's like
saying, wonder about his
sex. It might be a heart attack. Yeah, you have to wonder about his sex life.
Right.
He said, or ASMR could just be a way of activating the pleasure response. Vertebrate brains are fundamentally hardwired for pleasure and pain, for positive and negative behavioral feedback, or feedback, period. We are rewarded with a pleasurable sensation for doing things and experiencing things that increase our survival probability and have a negative or painful experience to make us avoid harmful behavior, da-da-da.
Uh-huh.
Over evolutionary time, a complex set of reward and aversion feedbacks are developed. I mean, it doesn't, like, it's hard to relate it exactly, though.
Yeah.
Like, why the
crinkling,
the tapping, the crinkling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just quiet noises when communicating, mm-hmm. but it just seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
For
but I mean,
me.
is it a frequency tickle?
A frequency tickle.
I like that better than ASMR. Well, for just the audio part.
No, that's way better.
Frequency.
Today we're going to talk about frequency tickles. I totally love that.
Frequency tickle.
Yeah, it is.
That's our show. It's a frequency
tickle
for your brain.
Did we just find our tagline?
Did we just find our tagline? High five.
That's a really good one.
A frequency tickle for your brain.
And that's all us.
And that's all us. You didn't know it, but we've been tickling your brain.
You felt it. You didn't know what to call it.
You wanted to come back and get that tickle.
Tickle my brain again.
Okay.
And so that's it, basically. I'm scrolling down to make sure there isn't some other example I can give you.
Yeah.
Because it's just so interesting. But go to YouTube and look up these, put in ASMR.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put in frequency tickle and see what comes up too. But put in ASMR and there are just tons of them. And it really is cool to look at.
Yeah.
Do you, like, maybe we should, as we leave.
Goodbye. We don't have.
Yeah, we don't have any comment review highlights this week. So we instead will leave you.
With scratchings. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wait, What?
And remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you've got to meet our intern, Sarah. She's all over TikTok.
And you can find all this on our website on waitwhatpodcast.com with 3 A's.